Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, chickens. This is the fabulous Adam Richard, and I have a theory.
Oh, chickens, we are still watching The End of Time, part one. I probably won't get on to part two until 2024, the rate I'm going. The Doctor and Wilf are having a chat in a cafe, and they can see Donna out the window. You know, Wilf says Donna's making do, even though, you know, he can tell there's something missing in her life. And Wilf asks the Doctor who he's got travelling with him now, and the Doctor says no one. He's travelling alone, and he thought it would be better, but he did something, and it went wrong, and then he starts crying. Oh, poor David Tennant. Doctor's sad. And Wilf says, you need her. Won't she make you laugh again, good old Donna? And the Doctor says yes, and then he leaves the cafe. Oh, so Timothy Dalton comes back. We don't see him, we just hear him. And he's saying, so it is that the players took their places for the events to come. In an abandoned warehouse, the Master is chewing meat from a bone. As Timothy Dalton says something about the man and his empire of ashes and dust. The Doctor's looking over the dump again. The voice saying, the Saviour looking to change his inevitable fate. And then we see David Harewood and his daughter. They're toasting the sparking archway with glasses of champagne. Not that they're toasting it on a fire. That would be weird. We're toasting the archway with a flamethrower. No, they're cheersing it, like, you know. Ding, ding. I've got to be careful with your words, Adam. The scientists in the white coats kind of look askance at each other. Timothy Dalton says that people go to sleep not knowing the dawn will bring the final day. And then we see that it is Timothy Dalton. Oh, it's a James Bond. Then the Master's confronted by the Doctor in the abandoned warehouse. The Master's sparkling with, like, electricity from his hands. And he shoots a beam out that causes a huge fiery explosion behind the Doctor, who just keeps walking. It's like nothing happened. He rubs his hand together and then builds up this huge charge and shoots it at the Doctor's chest. The Doctor collapses, and then the Master runs over and catches him and then drops him in the dirt. And the Master's like, you know, I had estates, and asks the Doctor if he remembers his father's place back home with their red pastures on Mount Perdition. You know, lovely bucolic Gallifrey memories. And he's like, look at us now. And the Doctor asks how many people he's killed. And he goes, I'm so hungry. And the doctor's like, your resurrection went wrong. Your body's ripped open and you're killing yourself. And the master starts rabbiting on about all the food humans eat at Christmas. And the doctor tells him to stop and wants to know what if he asks him for help. And the doctor's been told something is returning and it's the end of time. And the master says the noise in his head is stronger than ever before. The 1, 2, 3, 4, every beat of his heart, he can hear it calling to him. And the doctor can't hear it. And the master like takes the doctor's face in his hands. And then the doctor hears it. And the doctor says, I didn't think that that was a noise. I thought that was your insanity, but that's real. What's inside your head? And the master's elated finally that it's real. He's so excited. And then he takes off like Superman again with beams coming out of his electric hands. The doctor runs, and then the master's on top of a pile of rubble. It's nighttime now, though, so it's different running around the rubble. The master asks what it is calling him when he's bathed in light. And so is the doctor, and then they realize it's helicopters, and some masked commandos come down on ropes and inject the master's neck with something to make him pass out. And then when the doctor yells no and runs toward him, they shoot their automatic rifles at him. He ducks out of the way from the bullets, which like tear up the ground in front of him. The master is winched up into a helicopter, and then something hits the doctor and knocks him out. Wilf's at home opening a Christmas present, and it's a book with David Harewood on the cover, and he's called Joshua Naismith, and the book is called Fighting the Future. I do love David Harewood. You know, he's in Supergirl. He plays the Martian Manhunter. Of course he does. And he's also in, I think he's in, is he in the first season of Homeland? He's like the head of the CIA. Is he in more than that? I can't remember. Or does he get blown up? People get blown up in those shows all the time. I've been watching that that one with Jim from The Office. I like an exploding CIA show. with Jim from The Office. So the book, of the Joshua Naismith book, Fighting the Future, is in Wilf's hand. Donna has made margaritas, but she's got no lemons, so she made them with orange juice. Classic Donna. And she's like, it's all fruit in it. Sylvia's chuffed with a jumper that she's gotten from Donna. She goes, oh, it's lovely. It's so beautiful. Have you got the receipt? love Sylvia. Oh my God, Jacqueline King, she's so good. Oh, it's so beautiful, isn't it? Have you got the receipt? Wilf asks Donna why she gave him the Joshua Naismith book, and she actually doesn't know. She's just like, I just saw it in the shop and thought of you. Then there's eerie music, so we know must mean something. Then Sylvia is cackling at a Christmas card which has a nude man in not much of a Santa suit. And then she and Donna cackle about that for ages while Wilf stares at his book. Then we see Naismith himself, David Harewood, is facing down the master, who is strapped into a chair like Hannibal Lecter. I always think of, like, when I see someone strapped down like in a straitjacket, in a gurney, Hannibal Lecter style. I used to have this stand-up routine I did about Silence of the Lambs, the musical, which involved at the end of, like, you know, I would sing all these songs and then I would talk about the end of Act One. Because, you know, the end of Act One at a musical, there's always like, you know, in Phantom, the chandelier crashes to the floor, and in Les Mis, there's like a whole big, you know, war going on. There's a big battle and everyone spins around and sings songs at the same time. Like in Wicked, the witch takes off. Like there's always something huge that happens at the end of Act One to make you want to come back for Act Two. And so I posited for In Silence of the Lambs, a musical, it's it's where Hannibal Lecter comes out on the gurney and says, Senator, love your suit. And then there's a whole love your suit song. Love your suit, love your suit. And the stage spins around, and on the other side is the guy who's doing all the murdering in the nude with his skin suit on. Love my suit, love my suit, love my lady's hair and skin suit. It's not appropriate. Anyway, don't watch that movie until you're older. Only adults can watch Silence of the Lambs because it's horrific. It was my favourite movie, though, when I was a teenager. Was I a teenager? When did it come out? 91. I would have been 20. I would have just been 20. That's, like, nearly teenager-y. Anyway, where did this come from? Oh, that's right, because the master is chained up. a guard pulls the master's mouthpiece off, and Naismith tells the master that he's got his daughter to thank. This was all her idea. She'd heard rumours of the return of Harold Saxon, and the master says he's hungry and starts licking his lips. Sean Temple arrives at the nobles and says he doesn't have much, but, you know, it won't be long because, you know, the president's promising to end the recession tonight, so, you know, more presents in the future. He gives Donna a big cuddle. Wilf yells everyone to be quiet because the Queen's speech is on, and Wilf salutes the TV when the the God Save the Queen comes on, which I guess is their national anthem. They meant to salute. It used to be ours, like until the 80s. Did you know that? It was like God Save the Queen was the national anthem in Australia until, like, they did a referendum, well, as a plebiscite in the 70s. So I think the Whitlam government, like in 1975 or something, just changed it to Advance Australia Fair. And then the Liberal government that took over after the dismissal changed it back to God Save the Queen. But they said you could do both if you wanted to. But mainly it was officially God Save the Queen. So they held a plebiscite to say, oh, what do you want the national anthem to be? And it was like Advance Australia Fair and Waltzing Matilda. And there was another couple of songs that no one's ever heard of. And God Save the Queen was one of the choices. And the results of the plebiscite were overwhelming. Like, it was something like 80% or something said, make it, you know, Advance Australia Fair. So they did nothing about that for, like, 7 years, I think. So it, like, so from 1976 or 77 or whenever the plebiscite was held, they just went, yep, yeah, that, thanks, that's, we won't do anything about that. And it wasn't until there was a change of government in 83 when the Hawke government came in and they went, we're going to go with what they said in the plebiscite 7 years ago and change the national anthem. And that's why I got so upset during the marriage equality plebiscite, because I was like, yeah, I know what this political party does when they get the answer to a plebiscite that I don't like. They sometimes just go, thanks for that, and then don't do anything about it. Anyway, I have tangented myself way off course, which is normal, and become furious all of a sudden. Anyway, it'll continue.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.